We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into Jack Ramsey's Danny Meringue, Brandon Sprague here on a glorious Sunday morning. And I tried to do this early to make this easier, and now the puppies have taken over the studio.
Literally as we start,
they are both right here on top of me. Mom is out with her mom for breakfast, and I've got puppy duty. So hopefully they won't be too disruptive.
They just want the love, Danny.
They just want the love.
We'll get this pod going.
But hey, the Blazers get a wonderful, fun, big thing about last night. It was a fun game. 136 points. That's always fun, right? Everybody decries the death of defense, and it was fun. Mm-hmm. Nurk, I think, dunked five times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was it five?
I think it was five when it was all said and done.
He did have a couple like easy putback dunks or little handoff passes that he just finished.
And I was like, yeah. Hey, there you go. It's a lot easier. It's a lot more fun to dunk, isn't it, Nurk?
We're gonna get into a lot today. We're leading into the next Dallas game too, which there might be good news for Portland. But I kind of felt like, and I know Dame spoke to this. This is something I think we've talked about. I know I've felt this way for a while. Gary just seems like he's fun to play with. And every minute that he played with Nurk, it seemed like Nurk was his most efficient and seemed like he was enjoying himself the most.
You know, that's a great place to start. Gary, I think, obviously his defense is just huge. Come here, baby. There you go. His defense is incredible. And his intensity, I think he's going to end up kind of being like bumper bowling rails. I think he's just going to keep shit on the rails. Like, he's just not going... He's just not going to allow things to go sideways.
Yeah.
And he's going to just... He's a shepherd. No, not there. Come back here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Just kind of steering everybody kind of in the right direction as one unit.
Yeah, and it's not like... You know, he's the leader of the team, but he's a leader, you know? And I think that's huge. And that it, because number one, they need a guy who talks. They need a guy who talks so, so much. And he talks endlessly, right?
Yep.
And I think that that's an undervalued part of what he brings to the floor. Now, the four steals and... talking a whole heap of cash shit to the Mavs bench after knocking down threes in front of their face. It's like,
yeah, that's four for four.
those things are great. Like, Gary Payton counting stats to me are kind of like found money.
Right.
Because, like, they went in the zone again in the second half with Gary, and they had Gary at the top of the point of attack. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, how many more guys in the NBA would you rather have up there?
Not many.
Like, Ben Simmons.
Sure.
Mikal Bridges.
It depends on what kind of game I'm getting from Ben Simmons.
But so I'm saying, like, yeah.
Mentally engaged Ben Simmons, sure. But yeah. I don't know if I'm getting that.
But, like, those are the guys you're talking about. You're talking about the best defenders in the NBA.
Right.
What's really funny about Gary is, I had a bunch of fans come up to me last night, and like, Gary was the thing that everybody wanted to talk about. And the thing that I love about Gary is that he's not 6'10". Like, I wish he was 6'10", but like, I'm saying I love this about him because there's nothing quote unquote special about what he does other than he just says, this is mine.
Yeah.
He goes, that ball you have right now, that's mine now. And he just takes it. He's just mine. And he just, and it's not like, when you see other guys like make these incredible defensive plays, you're like, oh, you can see him. He knew where the ball was swinging. He knew where it was going. He knew what was happening with this. Da, da, da. Gary just looks at a guy and says, no, I want that now. Thank you. And he just paws it and he takes it. It sounds so simple. I'm not trying to downplay his ability because his ability is insane. Because
I think you're talking about an ability.
Yes, his ability to just say that's mine now, and he picks up your dribble timing, and he shoots it, and his arms are so long and he's so explosive.
Mm-hmm.
When he goes to take the ball, it looks simple. That's the terrifying thing. If you're a ball handler, is Gary makes it look so easy, which is why when he was on the floor last night, you saw Luka turning his back. Luka's got one of the tightest handles that exists in the league. And he's turning his back to Gary, and now he's walking the ball up the floor slower. Now Dallas is getting in their offense at 13, 14, 15 instead of 18, 19, 20. And now they're up against it. And then Gary's leaning on Luka. And I'm like, when you see Gary out there last night, what's kind of like everything that you take out of that game and just – not even out of that game, but from him?
Well, I mean, I don't really have – Danny, I've been talking about this for over a week, man. Like, he's just infectious. His kind of lighthearted but uber-competitive nature, I feel like, rubs off on him. And I think you can see that pretty quickly when they bring him out there off the bench. The other aspect, too, and I really kind of felt this way last night. I know they ran away with that game, and we'll talk about if they can sweep the series here, this mini homestand. But I'm kind of amazed the way you're kind of talking about how he just, if he wants it, he just kind of grabs it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of amazed when I watch him and he's not an offensive threat, right? He's not a guy you'd put like, oh, of all the guys want shooting open threes, Gary's up there. He hit it last night. He had a good night offensively.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is like, people don't view him as like an elite offensive talent, but there's something about the way that he can space himself, the way that he kind of controls, the top of the paint when he catches at the elbow.
Mm-hmm.
There's an element to the way he plays his game.
He's always a threat.
Where it somehow it feels like it's a threat, mm-hmm. even though you know it's not a threat. I'd argue
that he's not a threat. I know exactly what you're saying, and I think it speaks to Gary's IQ.
Yes.
It's because when he gets the ball, he is a threat because the difference between him and rotation player X is that he can put the ball down on the floor.
Right.
He can pass. He can finish. And he can knock down corner threes. And he does just enough that you have it in the back of your head like, oh, shit, I kind of have to guard him. Like, there's a little bit of Draymond to him in the sense of like, you know, I know he's not really a shooter, but he's so smart, I have to worry about what he does next. And like Gary catching in a short roll, he throws lobs or he finishes. You leave him open for three, he's going to be like, you sure about this? Like, especially in the corners, he's going to let it go. If he catches and you don't close out, and if, you know, as long as it's not late in the clock, he's just going to reset, rescreen, and get into it. It's like an offensive rebound, like going to Nurk or Eubanks.
Right, right.
And they're like, okay, cool. Hey, Dame. Hey, Ant. Come here. And they just get into another dribble handoff. And I thought what the Blazers did last night, I'll come back to Gary here real quick, is that they ran their actions, they ran their sets here or there. But if it wasn't there, they just got into a screen or rescreen or a handoff action again and again and again.
Which is really easy when you have one of the more efficient pick and rolls with Dame and Nurk, and then you get to add Gary to this element now.
Yes, and hell, and Drew. Like, you just start, and it doesn't have to be Dame every time. If Ant's on the strong side, you get Ant.
Yep.
And you just kind of, all right, let's go into this. And I think Gary's just another, and this is why I said for the last 3 weeks, they have got to get healthy. They've got to get more NBA caliber dudes on the floor. You see what the addition of one NBA caliber dude has done.
Yep. It's a viable bench player. I mean, you actually have a bench now.
And it's like, do I expect him and Shaden to combine for what, 22 on a nightly basis? No. No, I don't. But the fact that he can score, the fact that he can be out there to also help, whether he's playing alongside Dame or Ant defensively, and kind of guide Shaden at the same time. He's Shaden's swim buddy. He really has kind of, like, you can see it when they're on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
He is constantly checking Shaden 6 over and over and over and over again. And you can see how invested in him he is. And it matters.
Yeah. Well, I thought last night was one of Shaden's best games of the year.
I would agree.
It's not even just the actual numbers themselves. It's when you watched him. He had like a couple possessions. He catch, shoot.
There was no hesitation. He was ready every time.
He was ready last night. He cashed in on some of those. The other thing too is he's becoming a nice little, you know, under the radar piece on the offensive glass.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's so hyper athletic now that when he attacks, I mean, he had one the other night where he accidentally put it back and it was going to be a made basket, so they had to wave it off. And the next time it happened, he jumped and then he kind of went like,
put his hands away like, oh, and that one he actually could have gotten.
He could have gotten, and I think it, you know, we understand why he didn't. But what I think it did was that experience and that mental note, I thought, carried itself over to yesterday. Now, look, they pulled away from Dallas. They did it pretty early, and they consistently kept it there. But I just thought the way that he moved within the flow of their offense, being ready to catch and shoot, and also his aggressiveness on the glass, or his at least attempt to go up and sky for a rebound, I thought yesterday was one of his better games. And I'm with you on what you're saying about Gary, of how he's kind of looking after him and guiding him a little bit here and having his back. But I thought one of Shaden's best games last night happened for him in his rookie year. Yeah.
The Mavericks just released their injury report. Their first one came out. Luka and Wood are both questionable. Hardaway Jr. is out.
Yeah, so that...
The Dallas media folks were saying last night that they expected Luka to sit out today.
So this is kind of like maybe a rest instead of playing a back-to-back.
Yeah, I mean, he played 53 against the Lakers, then he played however many last night, and then a back-to-back here.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty... I mean, I know we'll... I don't know how much we'll get to, but...
I mean, Wood not playing too? I mean,
They should house them tonight. This should be a game where you blow them out.
Absolutely. I mean, they were missing, four guys coming in tonight, last night.
Yeah.
You add Luka to that, and it was funny. The Mavs closed with the lineup they had out there. The biggest guy they had was Theo Pinson at 6'5".
Mm-hmm.
It was just a bunch of guards. You think the Blazers are guard heavy? Wait till you see the Mavs roster. Jesus. In fact, let me see if the Blazers updated theirs. I did not see one yet. Live injury reports. Nope, nothing yet. Okay. Let's get in some questions.
Yeah, we got some good ones.
This from Scott, at ScottPTB30. Will Jeremy Grant sign an extension with the Blazers? If not, how much will he get from them or someone else? His next contract is a real inflection point for the Blazers in terms of team building. I don't think the Blazers are going to let him go. But I also think that Jeremy has played so well that he's probably played himself out of that extension.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this and getting worried, actually. There may have been a wink and a nod situation here, but business is business. Mm-hmm. And if I'm Jeremy, I'm absolutely hitting the market. Mm-hmm. I know he's had an all-star type season. He's having his best year. He plays really well within what Dame and Ant and company play. But if you have a chance to cash in way more than you thought you would, I think you kind of have to take that. So I'm hoping that he still just, you know, comes back and goes, I'll take the extension that people had talked about, because being here and fitting in with this offensive system seems kind of better long term. But if I was like a best friend of Jeremy Grant, I'd be like, yo, you have to hit the market. And I know you might like it in Portland, but if somebody's going to offer you a big, big bag, you kind of got to take it when you get it.
Oh, Portland can too, because they can go, they'll have his bird rights.
Right.
So it's just a matter of how much. But we talked about this one, you know, heading into, was it the 7th, January 7th, that don't expect Grant to, like, sign the extension immediately.
No.
I ultimately expect Jeremy to end up here. one way or the other. There's only one other team that I think Jeremy has done the play for a crappy team for a lot of money thing.
Yeah.
I don't think he wants to go back to that. I think he's happy here. I think he's getting what he wants. He's having his career year.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to do everything. But there is a team down I-5 in purple and gold that will have cap space.
Yes. This summer. Getting some contracts off their books. Yes. And I can only imagine what it'd be like to play with a healthy AD
and
still an effective LeBron. And to live in Los Angeles. And oh, by the way, side note, Jeremy's heavy into fashion. Sometimes you might take the bag if it means you get more, money out of the business venture.
So that is something that is in the back of my mind, certainly. But I do believe that Jeremy is here. I think they do re-sign him for his next deal. As of right now, I have no reason to think otherwise.
I agree.
If they lose him for nothing, oh shit. They are so screwed.
We have an emergency podcast to do if that happens.
Oh, God. Oof.
Now, because you've said that, now I've already put the mental image of a Woj tweet of like,
Jeremy Grant has signed a four-year deal with the Los Angeles Lakers.
In a surprise twist, and you're like, oh, no, please, no.
Yeah. This is from Nick, at coach_Nick89. Do you think Jabari stays in the rotation when Nas coming back and when Winslow comes back? No.
No.
I love Bari. I love Bari, and I think we've talked about this a ton. I think he's going to be a good player in the NBA. I think he's going to be around for 10 years. I do not think that Bari stays in the rotation. Now, he may come in for foul trouble or in a particular matchup. Or we are a couple weeks away from the trade deadline. If one of those guys ended up getting moved, then sure, Bari could maybe stay in the rotation.
Mm-hmm.
All depends. If the Blazers went and got a Doug McDermott type, like that was their only move.
Right.
But it ended up costing them, Keon Nas or Keon Winslow or something along those lines. Right. I think Doug makes more money than that. You'd have to do something else in there. But regardless, whatever. If some trades were made, then maybe he sticks at the back end of the rotation. But I just don't say Bari can be in there with that many bodies in front of him. Because Gary's going to play 24.
Yeah.
Nas, when he comes back, they'll ramp him up. And I imagine he'll be at 22. Same with Justice.
I mean, they need veteran guys on the court. Like, Bari's been a really fun story. I think Bari should feel really good about what he was able to contribute when he got those minutes. But it would make more sense to me if you did Bari.
Yeah.
Put him on at the end of the bench. And, if you need him in an emergency pinch, I think Chauncey knows he can trust him to go in and play a few minutes. But with more and more minutes Gary's putting in, I'd imagine those are going to go up. Plus, you're going to ramp Nas back up. Plus, you need a Justice Winslow out there. So, yeah, unfortunately, it sucks, I know, but I'd expect Bari.
That's how the NBA goes.
Yeah.
I mean, we've already seen so many versions of this rotation. I mean, Watford was the guy to start, and then it wasn't. Like, it's just the back end of the rotation, there's a strong what-have-you-done-for-me-lately around the NBA. That's kind of how that works.
Mm-hmm.
The sixth man gets a lot of leeway. Seventh man, a little less leeway. Eighth man, a little bit less. Ninth man, there ain't no leeway.
There ain't no leeway.
You got to show up. Got to produce. That's how you get on the floor, and that spot can cycle. And that's not saying that Bari can't get it back or, outplay somebody. But when Nas and Justice come back and your eight man is Gary, Nas, Justice, who's the ninth?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Bari? Is it Watford? It's Ben Eubanks.
Trendon's minutes have basically plummeted. Disappeared at this point.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're going to go with like one of three guys. And maybe in the first half it's Eubanks, and maybe they go small and it's Watford or Bari.
Right.
Like, but I think that's like your grab bag. Because even though Drew's basically getting guaranteed minutes, Drew's only playing like, I think, 15 a night. I ended up at 20 last night.
Well, he was really effective last night, though. He's had a good few games here.
He's been really effective the last couple nights when the Blazers play vertical. Like, when there's a rim-running threat, like, that's just not Nurk's bag.
Right.
That's where he gets beat. Eubanks is vertical. People are going to stop trying to dunk on Drew Eubanks.
He can jump with almost anybody.
He can.
The only person he probably couldn't jump with is Ja Morant. Yeah. Which, dear God, that might be...
That might be dunk of the year.
Danny, that might be a top five dunk of all time.
In game?
I don't even give a shit. Game, no game, practice it.
To pull back that far?
His arm was like here.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow he still finished over like a 6'10 dude.
Yeah, I don't. Unbelievable. I don't know how it didn't get knocked away.
I don't either.
Right?
He just missed. The arm went up and he goes kind of side here. Just barely missed it. So outside of that, Drew jumps with anybody.
Nuts. For Brendan Myler, at Brennan Dub, I try to avoid trade questions, but there's that but. How likely are the Blazers to remove their protections in the Chicago pick? I can't see them doing it unless it's for a real impact player, and even then it might be smart to keep the protections if that move would be there this offseason. Yeah, I tend to agree. They're not going to roll the protections off that pick unless it's for somebody that moves the needle.
I don't see anybody moving the needle that's going to become available by the deadline.
Just talking to people around the league, nobody expects anything to happen really until like the final week. It's going to be the Gobert, DeJounte Murray trades torch the market so bad that now every GM is like, I want 3 first round picks.
Right. They're going to be like, oh, I want the DeJounte Murray. I saw one that said, God, who was it? It wasn't even like an amazing player. They were like, they're going to want a Donovan Mitchell-like return. And I was like, what?
Oh, that's what the Toronto wants for OG. I have already been told that Toronto wants 3 first-round picks and a player for OG.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Ain't nobody paying that price.
Just like the NFL came together and said, oh, you're giving Deshaun 230 guaranteed? Piss off. We're not doing that to anybody. I think the NBA saw that trade for Gobert and was like, no, we're done. We're going to stop doing this. This is stupid.
Well, GMs are going to sit there and ask for it.
Oh, I know GMs are going to ask, but I think the league collectively saw that and went, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am more and more convinced, and this isn't sourced, just talking to folks, that if Portland makes a move, it'll be smaller here. And I do think they are going to make a move at the deadline.
Somebody trade one to us in some of the questions, and I was like, that's kind of the caliber move I'd see them making. And it was I think it was like a Hart for Toppin and throwing in Reddish, because Reddish is unhappy in New York.
If
there's one to happen, I think it's something like that, which you're kind of like, I like that idea. Like, 6'8", 23-year-old kid. Who hasn't gotten a chance really anywhere he's had some problems. Like, maybe he comes in here and then Obi. I mean, we don't really know exactly what Obi Toppin is yet. Maybe we do, but you know,
solid player with size. Like, adding more dudes that are 6'8 is not exactly a bad thing.
I wouldn't be mad at it. Plus, some guys just thrive in new starts, new places.
Reddish, there's more stuff to that than just him struggling.
No, I'd imagine so. I imagine there's some things going on, some clashing.
There's some Jeremy Grant bags there, okay? this from Andrew John at AJ_VD. How do you think Nasir and Justice will fit back in this team? What elements of the offense and defense have you been missing since they both went down, and can those be developed further with a healthy GP2? Mm. I mean, defensively, having more than just GP Sikkim would be good. Like, last night, all guys healthy, Nas and Justice are getting a shot at Luka.
Yep.
And like, if you're blitzing and trapping, let's say they come out with their zone like they did, and they blitz and they trap out of that zone, and they force the ball out of Luka's hands. Do you think it changes when it's no longer Dame or Ant as one of the guys on the blitz, and one of them's 6'6" Nasir? Probably. I mean, Luka's so good that he made pass after pass after pass. That was just exquisite pass last night. That's what he does. But it's helpful. On the offensive end, they make less mistakes.
Right.
Nas has two decision trees. Drive or shoot. Which he's a play-ender. Like,
yeah.
And they need another guy who's that his decision tree. It's
right.
It makes sense. Justice, he helps kind of grease the wheels as a playmaker. He relieves some playmaking pressure. Like,
I feel like he'd be a good little short role player too, and everything he can kind of add to it mm-hmm. offensively. You know, those are things you could use more of. I mean, we talk about Gary Payton the second. If Justice could have a kind of role like that, obviously yes. we know what Nas is. Yeah, I think that's huge. I think it's beneficial for them.
But yeah, as far as like integrating that, like this, it's a good spot. I mean, I know they just lost five straight, but they're in a good spot finally.
Well, they're getting healthy. I mean, yeah. That was the tough thing, man. It's like it gets you down watching a team lose over and over. You at times forget, oh yeah, there's 82 of these things. But it wasn't like all those games. We were mad about those games because they had opportunities.
They should have won those games. Realistically, at bare minimum, they should have gone 3-2.
And there's some bad losses that were on there, and that's what sucks. But as we were pointing out as it was going on, like they didn't have any shooting. All their shooting went ice cold. They were limited with their depth. They're getting Gary back with some high-level minutes. We got Nas. We got Justice kind of around the corner here. Like, you're starting to get more of a complete situation. Now, where that puts you, I don't exactly know, but I think you can get an idea of what it can do based on last night, what hopefully is tonight another win against Dallas, and just keep bringing guys and plugging them along.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the thing is that you're going to get your 8-9 man rotation, what you hoped it was going to be to start the season, probably in the next 2 weeks. Sounds like Justice is going to be back right at the end of the month.
Yeah.
I'll say this is he's got to do some conditioning ramp up.
Well, I mean, shit, his
like
hurt your foot. You're not doing a lot of running.
Well, not just that. Like, you know, your leg kind of atrophies when you got to stay off of it for a while. You can tell like one of his has gotten a little bit smaller. It's like I always hate that.
Oh,
I always hate that when like long period.
Yep.
Like when I had the hip surgery, like my right leg kind of like. Whoop.
It's weird to see people with leg casts and then see them right after. Like,
oh, dude, it's just skin hanging on the bone. It's so weird. It's so weird. This from at TWhite273. Should GP2 start over Hart? I've gone back and forth on this. I'm going to say no. I like being able to pull GP off the bench and go sick him.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could do both arguments and they'd probably work. Mm-hmm. If they win a couple more, I'd understand how it's probably not in consideration, to be honest with you. But personally, I'd like to see it. But I like that he's ramping the minutes up mm-hmm. and curious to see how they play. Remember, we talked about this, I think, going into the year. What was the closing lineup going to be? That mm-hmm. was a big deal.
And could it change on a night-to-night basis? All that right. kind of stuff, yeah.
And I think you and I had talked about how it's incredibly matchup-based. And I think Chauncey is going to keep it that way. I don't think he'll be so stubborn that it's mm-hmm. always the starting lineup in the closing.
He's changed it quite a bit down the stretch over the last couple weeks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we talked about staggering the Dame Ant stuff now and how those minutes have changed and kind of what you're seeing with some of the rotations. And now we get more guys back. Like, I personally like to see him in the starting rotation, but it's going to be it's a near impossibility if you keep winning.
Yeah, and I think having GP with the kids is helpful. I think he's a stabilizing force.
He's more of a point guard, I would say, in that situation than even Josh is.
And even if he's not a creator, he's still kind of, again, like he's shepherding. He's keeping things where, and that helps a guy like Ant if he's running that group. Hell, it helps Dame.
Mm-hmm.
It's one less thing that Dame has to do. And I think that's pretty helpful. And another question that kind of follows up with this is from Redbeard at JE_503. Should GP2 play in end of game scenarios over Hart? I don't know if it means over Hart, because there's some times where I could see Ant being taken off the floor, and they have taken Ant off the floor.
Chauncey's played that game. He's played the offense for defense thing mm-hmm. already with Ant.
So I think you can go with both. It depends on what the game scenario is. Like, if it's a back and forth, maybe it is for Hart, because you got to keep Ant on the floor with Dame to have the offense on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And as good a defender as Hart is, and he's a solid defender, Gary's the point of attack guy. And he's the one they have on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Josh is a solid point of attack guy. Don't get me wrong. Gary's elite. Kind of depends on who they're up against, what the scenario is. But I don't think Chauncey's afraid to pull guys. I mean, the only guy who's never going to leave that floor in that situation is Dame.
Yeah.
That's it. It's the only guy. So, as far as the should GP should be a part of lineups as far as like in crunch time. He should. Well, I shouldn't say that. He should when they need defense, right? Like that should be kind of like the no shit, but but like when they need defense, that should be a guy that.
Yes.
Hey, we need to stop here.
Yep.
Call him
he
in.
He was fun. GP was fun to watch guard Luka last night too.
I did the After Dark last night, and I said he gave him the Randy Couture treatment. He just laid on him.
Yeah.
He put his head on his chest and laid into him over and over and over again, just wore him out.
I actually thought there was an element of, we know Luka's about 6'8", right? And we know GP is 6'3". And they say he's the biggest 6'3". I know that got real cliche and easy to say by everybody. I thought last night was the first, like, oh, I can see what people mean. Mm-hmm. Because 6'3 to 6'8 is a pretty it's a pretty good.
Well,
difference.
Not just that. Like what, Gary, like you know how built Gary is.
Yeah, but he
looks but he looked like a child on Luka.
But I thought height wise and length wise, he didn't look that much smaller. And that's the part about Gary that you like so much against a guy like that. Now look, Luka's still gonna get the better of Gary in most instances because in the NBA.
He's just gonna
offense,
make it hard.
But it makes it tiring. It makes it exhaustive to get to do what he was doing.
Because Luka's sitting there. He's getting the inbound. He hasn't looked yet. And then he turns around, and there's Gary smiling. I'm back.
I'm still here.
And that's what he does. I tweeted out last night that Gary plays sarcastically. And he does. And Dame mentioned how much joy kind of he plays with. And there is like there's like a little bit of a cackle to everything that he does, you know, just a little dumb laugh.
But that's also his personality.
Yes.
Like when you're watching him,
when it
like,
comes through.
So that's funny you said that, because I think that's a really accurate description. You may have seen this in person, but on TV, I know fans could see this. When he makes the open pass to the 3-point shooter,
he trots back.
Watch him, because he always has a reaction. He had one to Jeremy where he tossed it, and he's kind of like, and Jeremy hits it, and then he just like, yeah, I hit the right pass. He had one to Nurk, and Nurk shot it, and it was one Nurk just netted, and midair, he did the Steph Curry. He just turned around and started jogging back. Mm-hmm. Like, he just brings a swagger that this team, they get it sometimes,
so bad.
But they needed so much of this injected into their situation because they were starting to struggle with that. So, I know we're talking a lot of Gary today, but I don't know how you don't, given what we've seen now for a couple games and knowing his minutes are going to keep on increasing.
Updated injury reports are out for everyone but Portland.
Awesome. If Nuka doesn't play, I'd actually like to see Dame get rest. He was put questionable. I mean, I'd love to see Dame play. I don't want to say
I'll tell you right now. Unless Joe sits him, Dame's playing.
Well, I know. I get that. But
especially the way Dame is playing right now.
But there's no Luka. Like
I know.
They can win this game without.
Yeah,
him.
You know what that means? Dame's like, I can get a 50 piece.
Last time he did, they lost. So
he wants to get away. He goes to get another one of those in a win. There's an opportunity for the Blazers to get a win today against Dallas. Clearly.
Yes.
Dorian Finney-Smith is ruled out. Josh Green is out. Maxi Kleber is out. Like, those guys were all out coming in. This Tim Hardaway Jr. is out.
Hardaway now.
I heard last night that Wood was a coin toss. After what happened last night, do they want to try to throw Wood out there to do everything if Luka doesn't play?
I mean,
or if you're the Mavs, are you just counting this one as an L and moving on?
I'm rolling over.
This might be a rollover game.
Yes.
And the Blazers better be careful, because remember, one of these rollover games is what they took from Phoenix.
Yeah.
But here's the big thing. I talked about this a little bit last night. The last two games, Damian Lillard's pick and roll volume has been higher than it has been basically all season. they did not run many plays last night.
Mm-hmm.
They were just playing ball.
Yeah.
They ran when they did run their sets. If nothing was there, it was immediately into a pick and roll, rescreen, get into something else. Dame and Ant. And you could just see the flow. Everyone was more comfortable. The question I have is that pick and roll volume turned up a little too much? Is it just a little too much? Because the thing you have to worry about in this sense is it was one game, but I do worry about this, but it's something I consider. Jeremy Grant last night was, what, fifth in shot attempts? Nine? Dame had 20, Nurk 15, Ant 12, Shaden 12, Jeremy 9. Mm-hmm. It could just be a one-off night. That happens. And nobody's going to, I mean, they all look at their shots. Don't believe what anybody says. Every single one of those guys has the paper in their hand in the locker room. They look, yep. They look at shots. It's there. And I wonder if some of that structure was almost in place to keep Jeremy in the hierarchy. Because when Dame and Ant are running pick and roll, it's easy to keep spamming that pick and roll because it works.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be interesting to see where that ultimately ends up falling.
You know, I think I don't even just look at last night, though. Like, what did you think of the pick and roll against Cleveland? Because they kind of brought it back in that game.
Oh, they did. They actually, that was the one that they did more of than they did. Because Dame and Ant only played under 30 minutes last night. So the total volume wasn't up. It was just a percentage.
So I don't have a problem with it. I think what they're getting back to, a little bit of their roots mm-hmm. to a certain extent, given what they ran for so many years, I like it. I don't – shot selection and shot attempts. And yeah, like pro athletes definitely want to get a – there's a part of them wants to get theirs, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there was an element to this team early that was just so fun and kind of a contagious attitude. That I think ultimately they'd be able to figure that out. Yeah. I don't want them to stop going away from it. I think you highlight last night their ability to run just smooth pick and roll in situations where they're not running sets. Why would we change that? Mm-hmm. Like if it's working, keep making it work. So I don't want them to change at all. I don't want them to do less of. I like that they did it. You brought it up a couple pods ago. They really dove in at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Look, you lost to Cleveland. Cleveland's a damn good basketball team.
And realistically, they've had a chance to win that game.
And you had a shot. I mean, you played hard. Dallas, that was a great win for you. That's one mm-hmm. of your best wins of the year. You have a chance, I think, tonight to sweep that mini homestand with them.
And split the season series. That's one of the things I mentioned last night. That's huge.
And continue to build on what you're doing. Like, just I'm more worried about how we incorporate everybody minutes wise
mm-hmm.
than I am what offensive sets they're running. Their sets are fine, and if they go to some more pick and roll in their non-set action, like I'm cool with that too.
Oh, there we go. That's always good. But yeah, I think I'm there with you. I do.
You'd lighten it because it feels like you'd say you'd take a couple less.
Just a couple less, just to make sure, like. And I don't think Jeremy's unhappy, but if he's fourth or fifth in the option tree for a couple weeks,
mm-hmm.
then I think it changes. Also, in the pick and roll, it also keeps Jeremy from being much more than a catch and shoot guy.
Yeah.
So getting him some sets where he has some mid-post stuff. I'd be interested to see what it looks like with him in the pick and roll. Run sure. Dame or Ant with Jeremy.
I'd like that too.
The thing about that is spacing gets a little bit wonky on those because Jeremy, they haven't really played well with Justice back. Perhaps they can go small ball
mm-hmm.
because with either Nurk or Eubanks on the floor, I don't care how many shots they hit. Defenses don't care about them. They aren't going to care about them for a while. But if they can run some spread pick and roll with Jeremy as the screener, that could put some defenses in some unique situations.
Yeah,
and they've only done a little bit of it. I think Jeremy's only been accounted for like 27 pick and roll actions where a shot turnover or a foul occurred. So not that many. Mm-hmm. So it's too small to really tell what the hell's actually happening. But right. they've also run some of it too. So maybe that's a way. Because then you can guess. I mean, listen, man. The one of the things about Jeremy for the last couple of weeks that has been tremendous. His shooting continues to stay up, which I figured it would fall off. I mean, pretty precipitously.
I thought it was gonna dip into almost the mid-30s at some point.
Like you just kind of expect it to, like, because he's been so good. Like you're just waiting for the regression,
right?
Because I mean, it's infinitely hard to keep the volume up with that percentage. It's just, or that percentage up with that volume. It's just insane. But the way that they're built now, and the way he is playing, I don't know what's happened in the last couple of weeks, but he has been so good finishing in the paint. On drives, on catches and dunks in transition, like it's been.
Jeremy?
Yeah, it has been
primarily dunks. Danny.
That's what I mean.
Up with authority,
but he's got that two-handed dunk, but he's had these scoops around the rim that he has just been so good as a finisher. That if they do go to some small ball lineups, I would love to see him as a role man.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see how good he looks.
Right.
It's just, but
he kind, you know what he does is he kind of presents, and we brought up Dame and how Dame goes into attack. He draws two naturally, right? Because of how effective he is. What?
Breaking news. Nasir Little is not questionable, not doubtful, probable, ladies and gentlemen. Nasir Little going to give it a go today.
Hey, there we go. You know what? Welcome back, Nas. Welcome back, buddy. I hope he can stay out there. I'm happy for him. I know he's gone through a lot. This is good news. It's good news in the middle of the podcast that we find out that Nasir Little is coming back. Like, I love that. And I'm happy for him. I hope he gets his minutes. And you know what? I hope the Moda Center, if he hits his first shot attempt or he hits a three tonight, and I assume they would because we're the greatest fans in the world, I'd love to hear his ovation, man, because you just feel for a guy that gets hurt.
You know, we talked about Gary and like his joy. Nas has a unique joy. Like Nas is, I don't want to get derailed for the Jeremy stuff too much, but when Nas is the center of the locker room. Quite like physically, like he's the middle locker, but like his vibe.
Yeah,
Nas is the one who crosstalks. Like that's where a lot of the conversations come from. Because he's kind of the connector between. Because, so if you walk in the locker room, you've got most of the vets. You know, you've got Nurk, you've got Ant, you've got Dame, and then Nas, and I think what, Baji, Shaden are on each side of Nas. And the other side of the room, you've got Josh on one far end, Jeremy on the other, and then in between, it's all the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you get the back and forth, and Nas is, he's the guy. He's the guy that's always got whatever topic they're on, it's usually because of Nas.
Yeah.
And I think that's just it's a good thing to have back because beyond his basketball stuff, he's a great dude and he's just got the right vibes.
Yeah.
The team is, this is what I was saying a couple weeks ago, man, like they need to get healthy. This is a big part of it. Like having Gary back, having Nas back, the vibes are going to improve.
Yeah. No, and I think it also helps when you get a couple wins along the way, right? Everybody's starting to smile a little more, laughing, enjoying themselves.
Oh, God, the locker room last night when we walked in, all of the media was like this. this feels a little different.
You could see it. So the game is winding down. There's like 10 seconds left of dribbling out. The bench, I don't know if it was Josh or if it was Drew. Somebody on the bench, I remember looking on the TV, they were just like this. It's like, yes, we can still win a game. Like the sigh of relief that they obviously had yesterday. Now, if they can just follow that up, it'd be great. Plus, we get an awesome minutes. I'm excited about tonight's game.
So we got a lot to look forward to.
We do.
A lot to look forward to. And Little getting back is awesome. The only guy listed as out tonight is Winslow.
Yeah.
Peyton is on here as probable, but he is listed with right hip adductor soreness.
Mm.
So maybe this is a night where Gary gets a little rest if Luka doesn't go.
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, I think you have to evaluate the situation. I'd like to see Gary keep playing, but
maybe
I,
maybe it's one of those things where he plays through it to try to get through that. So, but yeah, as far as Jeremy goes, I want to see some more pick and roll with him. I'd want to see a few other looks, maybe and other ways to incorporate him so that he's still there. I think tonight's a good night for that. I mean, if Luka doesn't go, I hate saying this because these the Mavs are professionals too.
Yeah.
But you treat this kind of like a live practice run. Try some stuff.
Sure.
Try some stuff. Like maybe you spam some Jeremy pick and roll tonight.
Especially if you jump out to a decent lead.
Take care of business and start trying some stuff.
Yep.
That's what I'd like to see. So
I just want to see another win.
Yeah, that's true too. And looks like we're doing well on our Bills Dolphins right now. Order has been restored.
Well, the Dolphins are kind of driving. Third quarter's just ended, but yeah, they're up 10. We'll see if they can bury them.
There you go.
And Aaron Donald retired and then unretired in like the last 20 minutes.
Oh, good for him.
His Twitter said, former lineman for the Rams, 99. Everybody saw it went viral, and then he changed it literally 2 minutes ago, and now it says lineman for the Rams.
Somebody, I bet you it wasn't him. I bet you it was a publicist, and they got out. They changed it too early.
Right, that's what I'm wondering is like
he's going to retire, but
it feels like he's retiring.
Yeah. But we'll wrap it up here. I found out as I left the studio on Friday that we don't work tomorrow.
You didn't know we had Monday off.
No.
Oh.
No, I didn't know until like last second.
Yeah.
I pay attention, don't you know? But because
you know
of
why
that,
we have that day off, right?
It's MLK Day.
No, but you know why we have the day off.
Why?
We used to work MLK Day.
Oh, why? Why does it change?
Because Martin Luther King's estate has all the
oh, that's right. I have a dream speech.
And if you air it without consent, you basically get Michael Buffered.
Yeah, they sue you into oblivion.
Dude, I'm telling you, when we did our show 6-7 years ago, we used to play like 2 minutes of it to end the show. Just as like, yo, out of respect, let's remind her today like what this is about. And then they had this thing a couple of years ago, and then the company's like, let's not risk this day off for everybody.
The litigation is so much.
Oh, yeah. I don't blame them.
Love it. We got Mavs here at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
I wish they would go like 3 o'clock. I love the early starts on Sunday.
I love good early Sunday games, too.
It's so good.
It is nice.
Quick little personal note. My wife was like, yeah, no. She went to the game last night with my father-in-law. And so, well, they win when I go.
She's trying to indicate she needs your job. Switch spots.
Oh, no, she would never in a million years want to do this. I've asked her before, do you want to pop in and say hi on the show? She's like, no, I don't ever want to be on there. Ever.
Don't even say my name.
Yeah, no. Just call me wife. But we'll wrap it up there. Thank you all so, so very much. As I said, because it's early game and because I'm off tomorrow, there's a good chance that I'll do a Jack Ramsey's After Dark, particularly if Nas gets out there. Just talk about how he looked and how things kind of end up going down. So stay tuned for that, I guess. Other than that, have a wonderful, wonderful night. Enjoy the game. It's been a while since we've done a pregame one. Like, rate, view, subscribe. Help us grow the show. Yeah, last year was the last time we did a pregame. You can find us on social media at Danny Marang, at Brandon Sprague, at Jack Ramsey's. Email the show, jackramseys@gmail.com. Other than that, enjoy Wild Card Sunday and the game tonight. And I will try to catch up with you tonight. If not, we'll be back possibly tomorrow. If not, we'll aim for Twesday. Take care and enjoy. Bye.